Timothy. First Thomas. Turn to Nezariah. I don't know. I'm just feeling silly. All right. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Chapter 6. Everybody there? Yeah, at the end. All right. Everybody there? 1 Timothy chapter 6. All right. Hey, let's do this. Let's pray, and then we'll get in God's Word and see what He wants to teach us tonight. So, Father, thank You for money and what a cool gift it is and just the fact that we can have some fun with it. God, I just pray that You would bless us tonight as we get in Your Word and we see what You would want to teach us. Father, I pray that we would just have receptive hearts and that You would be very evident tonight. So it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Everybody there? All right, good. So here's my question. What would you do if I gave you, don't answer. What would you do if I gave you $5,000? Don't answer. Just think to yourself. Don't tell the person beside you. What would you do if I gave you $50,000? Okay. What would you do if I gave you the ability to do what I said? All right. When I said don't tell the person next to you and don't tell me. Yeah, I know it's hard, but what about $500,000? What about 5 million? Same answer? I know. It's killing me. I don't know. Here's the point. Hey, here's what I want to do tonight real quick. I know it's been crazy and y'all been sitting there watching people get money and you're maybe bored or you're maybe mad that they got money and you didn't or whatever. But real quick, just hang in there with me for a couple minutes and I want to go over this. This is our last one on War on Culture. And what we're going to look at tonight is the difference between what culture has to say about money and what the Bible has to say about money. How many of you right now, don't say a word, just show me with your hands. How many of y'all think the Bible has good stuff to say about money? How many of you think the Bible has bad stuff to say about money? You think? Very good. Lindy's so smart. It is both. The Bible has good and bad stuff to say about money. And we're going to find some stuff here in 1 Timothy, but here's what I know, is that God has never really said anywhere that He doesn't want us to have money. As a matter of fact, I mean, it's kind of fun to think, what if I really got $50,000? What if I really got, I mean, you guys have no concept of like $500,000, okay? Most of y'all make like $560 an hour somewhere, and you have no concept, if you even have a job, you have no concept of what that much money, but just think. I mean, it's fun to just think, what if I had that? I mean, that's like endless amounts of money to you. I mean, that's like lunch for the rest of your life, okay? That is like endless tanks of gas. I mean, it's unbelievable how much, if I just gave you all this money, whether it's millions or billions or whatever, it's kind of fun to think what you do with it. But here's the thing that I want you to know is that that's not altogether bad. Money is not bad. As a matter of fact, God never says money is bad. Not that I can find anywhere in Scripture. Now, you may have a different Bible, but it doesn't say it in the Bible that I read. Actually, no, you don't have a different Bible that says anything different. Don't get confused. It doesn't. Scripture never says anything about the Bible is bad. And what did I just say? Well, that's true too. Thank you for listening. That was a test. It also doesn't say that there's anything bad about money that I know of. Now, what it does say, and that we're going to see in 1 Timothy, is something about a love of money. But here's what the trouble is. Here's where you and I get in trouble, is when we dream and we think about all this cool stuff that we could have and all this fun stuff that we can have. And for the purposes of tonight, let me say this real quick. We're going to just combine money and stuff, possessions, material stuff together. Okay, all that's going to kind of fall into the same category. But it's fun. But as we dream and we think, well, man, that'd be cool. And then you go to, I really want that and I really need that and I'll do anything I can to get that, and we become obsessed with it. That's where it becomes an issue. And if you have ever watched anything on TV or anything, our culture is obsessed with money and stuff. Would y'all agree with that? You, whether you realize it or not, are bombarded with messages that say if you are going to be a person of value, if you're going to be anybody in this society, you got to have stuff. You got to have money. There is a, go ahead and pull up that PowerPoint slide. Laura and Val went took some pictures for me today, and they found some. Anybody know who that was? Wait, go back. Anybody know who? Scrooge? Yeah. Okay. Y'all are paying attention. Go ahead. These are just some of the ideas. Obviously, we all want to turn our big idea into a $1 million business. Go ahead. Y'all don't really care about your cash made easy. These are just some straight to the top secrets to eBay success. And y'all had any eBay success? All right. Hallelujah. Y'all must have read that. We asked some Primetime's biggest star to share their favorite vacation spots, and they said things like this. All right. Oh, wait, no, go back. How many of y'all ever been somewhere like that? Okay, so you haven't ever been anywhere like this. How many of y'all have seen shows like, you know, Lifestyles of Rich and Famous or The Vacation, Cribs, whatever? These are ridiculously nasty, awesome homes that... There's a place, I was looking, my dream vacation with Laura and I is in French Polynesia, and it's close to Tahiti. They've got these cool deals where you've got your own hut and your own little dude that serves you all week, and you're out over the water and the whole floor is glass, okay? It's $1,500 to $1,800, listen, a night per person with a minimum of 7 nights, okay? So this is a minimum just staying there. Well, then there's also a 12% VAT, which is a tax that a country imposes on you. Plus, it doesn't include your airfare or any of your gratuities or anything else. So you're talking like a $50,000 vacation just to go hang out for a week. That's, you know what the average income in Morristown is per person? $36,000. So in a year and a half, they could make enough money if they didn't spend any other money to go there. That's the kind of vacations that you know, you can have if you do good on eBay. All right, go ahead. How to fly like a star. Now, these are you're about to see some pimped out airplanes right here. Go ahead. These are inside private jets. All right? Is that not sick? Marty, you could stand up in it. You could. No, they, yeah. Uh-huh. One of those, yeah, that's Shaq's on the bottom and Andre the Giant's on the right and... Oprah Winfrey's on the left. And I don't know. Go ahead. Go to the next one. Sports cars. All right. That one up there is the inside of a stretched Hummer on the top. I have no idea what the other two cars are, but the one in the yellow is the in the... Okay. And the yellow is in the top 10 most expensive cars in the world. Okay. So good luck with that one. $25 million watch. Okay, my Timex costs like $49. No, it's a watch. Don't tell me my business. As a watch. See the little thing in the center with the little hands on it? Or like a watch. It's a watch. Just trust me. But it's $25 million. That's what y'all be freaking out about. Who has a watch that costs over $200 in here? That's okay. Doug won the lottery. All right, go ahead. Next one. All right. Now, that's some grills right there. All right. And that, yeah, I know. So, there you go. And you know, Snoop Dogg, you know, he's blinging and whatever. So, all right. Here's the thing with all that, and you can just go black screen or whatever up there. The thing with all that is this. That stuff is great and fun to think about. And, you know what? I honestly, if you will be faithful to God, I pray He gives you more than any of that stuff. But when that becomes our chief goal, when your life becomes all about getting the vacation spot and the airplane and the stretched Hummer and the grills that cost more than my house and, you know, all of the stuff, that's where it becomes a problem for us. And that's where we have to make a choice. Do we want God more or do we want money more? And the problem comes in for you and I is when we start to pursue money. And that is our chief end. And all we want is stuff and the money that stuff buys. And real quick, let me ask you to turn your cell phones off. Just go ahead and put those up if you haven't. All right, 1 Timothy. This is what God has to say about money. 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10. People who want to get rich. If your chief end in life is getting rich, some of y'all that may be the case. Some of y'all, your desire more than anything is to be rich. I want you to hear what God has to say to you. You fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. You want to get rich? That's what you want more than anything? You got coming your way, ruin and destruction. That's what God has to say. Why? Because if that is your chief love, if that is the love of your life, it is a root of all kinds of evils. Not money, but a love of money. A passion, a desire to have money more than anything else is a root of all kinds of evil. So let's real quick, I want to go through a couple of ideas that it says that if you want to get rich, it's going to lead you into many foolish and harmful desires. And I just want to go through a couple of those real quick. And guys on the back, just don't talk while I am, okay? Thanks. Pride, okay? That is something, especially guys, but I think we all struggle with that. Pride. This idea that it's my money, it's my stuff, I can spend it when I want to, I can use it how I want to, I earned it, or whatever, but just because your mom and daddy gave it to you, you think you earned it, whatever. But it's yours, and it's your stuff. Here's the reality, is that God hates pride. He said to the people of Israel, when they were leaving Egypt and all the years in the desert, and He was going to give them the promised land, He said in Deuteronomy, I want to flip there, Deuteronomy 6. You can if you want. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, towards the front of your Bible. He says this, when the Lord your God brings you into the land He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And I want to read this other verse real quick. And go back to 1 Timothy 6. You can keep your finger there because we're going to be coming back to 1 Timothy. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. Here's the deal. God says, hey, I'm going to give you this land, but remember, you didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. You didn't do anything to get it. I'm giving it to you because I love you and I'm a good God. And I want you to have good stuff. But don't forget that I'm the one that gave it to you. You didn't bring anything into this world. And you won't take anything out of it. What you have is what God gave you. Everything. And we are blessed beyond compare. We just live in such a selfish, self-gratifying country that we don't get how blessed we are. Everything you have is a gift of God. I was thinking the other day, I've been trying to be more creative with God because our pastor is really creative in the way he prays. But I was thinking the other day when I was saying the blessing, I was thinking, how cool is it that food tastes good? Like, what if it was horrible? Every bite you took was like rotten salmon or something. I don't know. I mean, it's just nasty. But you had to eat anyways. I mean, God didn't have to make food taste good. It could all be just funky, nasty. But he made it taste good. I think that's a pretty cool blessing. Okay, that's just one example. Pastor, I hear him pray, and I've heard him say this several times, thank you for the ability to see in color. Pretty cool. I mean, have you ever watched a black and white movie? How frustrating that is. You may think that's cool, but I think it's totally frustrating. Okay, and maybe you're a retro kind of person and you think it's all nostalgic or whatever, but that the clothes that we can breathe, that you have eyesight, that you can hear, that you can walk, that you can talk, the gifts that you have, that you have, most of us that I know of in this room have a house over our head. We got to eat. I mean, we're going to probably throw away 10 pizzas tonight. Y'all can take them if you want. That'd be great. But if y'all don't eat them, we're going to throw away pizza. Okay? That we are in such a bountifully blessed country that we have so much, and we forget that God gave it all to us. There's nothing you have that God didn't give you. All right, the second one, because I'm going to take too long. Greed. That's another one of those traps you'll fall into if all you want to do is get rich. Greed. And here's what happens. You have this take mentality. When you're greedy, there are people in this room that, like, even like people that went in the money machine. And I'm not going to make y'all confess. But like if you got $10 and somebody got $40, you're like, man, that's not fair. How'd they get that $10 bill? I mean, I was stuffing stuff in my pockets too. And then y'all out here were like, well, dang, I didn't get it. And then the people that got the most money were like, gosh, I wish I could have got more. I needed $5 more to get that thing I've been bidding on eBay or whatever. And this mentality of we want and we want to take and we want to get and we want all we can. Ecclesiastes 5:10. Are you going there, Hunter? Ecclesiastes 5:10 says this. It'll be on your screen in just a second. Ecclesiastes is right after Proverbs. Yes, Old Testament. Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. Did y'all catch that? If you love money, you'll never have enough of it. If your chief end in life is to be rich, you'll never be satisfied because you can never have enough. All the stuff, all the bling, all the grills, all the houses, all the cars, all the pimped out Hummers will never be enough if that's all you want, because somebody will always have something cooler. Always. You are never going to be the top dog. There's always going to be somebody that comes along that beats you and has more and has cooler stuff. And if your chief end is to have it all, you'll never have enough. Ever. It's a vicious cycle that will dominate your life if you are a greedy person. Because all you'll want to do is take and take and take and take and take and take. And you will never be satisfied. It's like you got a big old tapeworm in your stomach. And you can eat and eat and eat all day and you're never full. Okay? It's horrible. Greed is like this nasty disease. But it's a trap that we will fall into if our chief end in life is getting rich. All right, next one. An ungiving heart. I don't even know if ungiving is a word, but it's what I came up with at the time. Proverbs 28:27 says this. Go one book over to the left. Just a couple chapters, really. Proverbs, well done. 28:27 says, he who gives to the poor will lack nothing, but he who closes his eyes to them receives many curses. Here's the point of that. You're blessed when you give. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that God loves a cheerful giver. You know why God blesses you with stuff? So you'll bless others. That's the message throughout Scripture. That God gives to you so you can give to others. And you will bless others. And I'll just tell you that I realize there are people that go against this, and why God has mercy on them, I don't really understand. Probably because he has mercy on us. But you see people that take and they hoard and they don't give, and yet God still allows them to have stuff. That's not his plan. And the Bible is very clear that one day they will reap what they sow. And the deal is, God wants you to bless people with what he's blessed you with. Now, if God has given you money financially, he expects you to be a blessing to others. And you're like, dude, how? I mean, come on. I don't have no job. I mean, I can't even buy lunch some days. I'm bumming people and waiting for them to finish so I can eat off their tray. And what? Well, the day that you do have five extra dollars at lunch, you need to hook a brother up. You need to have a giving heart. You need to be looking for ways that you can bless people the way God's blessed you. Ungrateful heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Be grateful always, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." How many of y'all are grateful? Don't answer. How many of you think your parents would say you're grateful? Most times, especially in America, we really struggle with this. We really struggle with gratitude because we think we deserve something and we think that we've earned something. And we think that because it's my birthday or Thanksgiving or Halloween or Easter that I should be getting gifts, that it's Christmas so it's all about me, and that, you know, I graduated so I should get a brand new car, and if it's not the one I want with the right kind of leather interior, then I'm going to be upset. Have y'all seen that disgusting show, that Sweet 16? Okay. That is the epitome of what an ungrateful heart is. As a 16-year-old getting a brand new Beamer or Bentley and parents spending thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of dollars on a Sweet 16 birthday party, and they complain the whole time and say, "This isn't good enough. It's not good enough." That is the epitome of being ungrateful, but it happens on so many levels. Guys, you don't deserve anything but hell. Don't miss that one. Everybody that's talking in the back, I want y'all to hear that. You don't deserve anything but hell. I don't deserve anything but hell. And anything better than that, that God gives me, I need to be extremely grateful for. Now, why do we deserve hell? Because we're sinners. Okay? And we're going to get to that in a minute. But we have got to come to a place where we are thankful for what we have. And here's what's crazy. When you get to a place where you're thankful for what God's given you, you are going to find yourself complaining less and less. I bet you there's not a person in this room that's never complained, don't answer, about lunch food at school. Okay? When I went to South Africa, we were at a school. It was a squatter camp school. Okay? I'm not going to go into all the details, but you want to know what a girl's, and you can say aw or whatever, but this is sad. We're talking to a girl, telling her about Jesus. It's lunchtime. She brings out her lunch. You want to know what she starts chewing on? A chicken foot. I swear to you. She pulls out a raw chicken foot and starts snacking on it. I thought I was going to vomit all over. Okay? Now, I guarantee you they have never served you that at your school. And yet, we say, "Oh, I hate steak and gravy or whatever we get. I don't know. This stuff's nasty." Hey, and it may be nasty, but you need to be thankful that you even have an opportunity to eat. Okay? You need to be thankful that God would even give your parents the money to give to you so you can afford a lunch. Because there are people in this town that can't. There are people all across this country, the richest country in the world, that go to bed hungry every night, that don't have homes. And there are people around the world that are going to die today because they don't have food. And we're complaining. Shame on us. And you want to know where that starts from? Because all we want is rich. All we want, our chief end, is the love of money. Last thing is this. We become thieves. We become thieves. You know what the Bible says in Malachi? Malachi 3:8. It's the last book of the Old Testament, right before you get to Matthew. God says, he's talking about returning to him. And then he asks them the question, they ask God the question. Verse 8. Will a man, chapter 3, verse 8, will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. God says if you don't give back to him, you rob him. You steal from God when you don't give back to him. Now maybe this is foreign to you because you don't think you have any money and whatever. If you get money, it's not yours. It's God's. He's allowed you to have it and he expects you to be a good steward of it. That means if you, I'm serious. If you get $25 for your birthday, is that your money or God's? It's God's. You don't get to answer. I'm going to tell you the answer. If you get $10 under your pillow for that last baby tooth, hey, it was the last one. It's special. That's not your money. That's the tooth fairy's money that God gave her to give to you. Okay? Just kidding. It's all God's. God expects you to give back to Him. You know what God says He wants? You might know this. The first fruits. You know what that means? It means the first, right off the top, as if you never made it, you're supposed to give it back to God. And when you don't, He says you steal from Him. You rob me. Because that's my money. I just let you borrow it, and you weren't faithful with it to give it back to me. And can I just tell you, most of y'all, tithing is maybe foreign. Maybe some of y'all have had parents that encouraged you to do that. If they didn't, please listen to me. Please start that practice now. If you don't learn to give to God right now at your age, if it's a dollar a month, if it's 50 cents out of your allowance, if you don't start and learn to give to God right now, it is going to get harder and harder and harder and harder. Our pastor did a survey in our church. You want to know what the number one stress in families is? Finances. The average family in America has close to $30,000 in debt just on their credit cards. Okay? That means they're paying for hamburgers they ate 5 years ago. That means they're still paying $30,000 just in debt on a credit card. Because they wanted stuff right then. And they had to keep up with the Joneses. And they had to have the stuff that made them look a certain way so they could be in a certain status because they wanted it. They wanted the richness and they wanted all the money. And what happens, I'll tell you, almost every time, those people will say, I can't afford to give to God. That's why you've got to learn right now that you can't afford not to give to God. Right now. If this is totally foreign to you, store it in your memory banks and replay it in 5 years. You have got to learn right now to give to God. Because I'm just telling you, when you make enough money to start buying all those toys that we saw on there, don't think you don't want to spend every dollar you got so you can be on the lake every weekend and driving the fattest car and staying at the nicest hotels and wearing the nicest clothes. And if you don't begin to learn now that the money is God's, it's not yours. He's just letting you have it. Here's what I've seen on the other side, though. When you are faithful to God, He is always, 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 always faithful to you. Laura and I, praise the Lord, we have always tithed. Now, we've messed up in a lot of areas, but it's just something we've always done. And there have been times where we have struggled for money and it's just come out of somewhere. It just did random places. Somebody's taking us out to eat and we didn't have any money. A bill just got paid. We got a $200 check in the mail from some survey Laura filled out when she was in sixth grade. I mean, I'm telling you, crazy stuff happens. But God will take care of you. He will be faithful to you when you are faithful to Him. Now, that's the dangers of love and money, and that's part of these foolish and harmful desires. But the last thing I want you to see, though, is that money is not, there's no security in money. We don't need to love money, but we also don't need to trust in it. What's it say on the dollar?
In
God we trust. In God we trust. On the very money that we base most of our existence on, it says, in God we trust. Not in this dollar bill. Not in my financial portfolio. Not in my education. In God we trust. A friend of mine, Spencer, his dad worked at Lockheed Martin. Did pretty well. Had a good 401k. When 9/11 happened, he had roughly about $2 million or so saved. Okay? When 9/11 happened, that day, well, that next week and the weeks following, he lost 60% of that. It was in the stocks and whatever. He didn't change it in time. 60%. Just like that. Okay? That's like a little over $1 million. Just gone. Now, what that means to him is he works a little longer and God still provides and it's all good. But here's the reality is that money is no great security. If money is your chief end, it is going to bring more pain than it's going to bring excitement to your life. I want to read you, I think this is hilarious. It's actually really sad. It's a note from people that have won the lottery. This guy, William Bud Post, won $16 million in the Pennsylvania lottery, 1988. Today, 16.2, actually. Now, today, he lives on his Social Security. I wish it never happened. It was totally a nightmare. A former girlfriend successfully sued me for a share of my winnings. A brother was arrested for hiring a hitman to kill me. Other siblings pestered me until I agreed to invest in a car business and a restaurant business in Sarasota, Florida. Both adventures cost me money. I got no return on them, and it hurt my relationship with the siblings. Post, Bud, even spent time in jail for firing a gun over the head of a bill collector. Within 1 year of winning $16 million, he was $1 million in debt. Now, that's foreign to you. I get that. But $16 million is a lot. $1 million is a lot. To have $16 million and to owe whoever $1 million, you could work your whole life and not be able to pay that off. Now he lives quietly on $450 a month and food stamps. Guy won $16 million and it ruined his life. Money is not trustworthy. God is. And what God has to say about money is this: it is a gift that I give you. Don't love it. Don't trust it. I'm your security. But he says this, and it's a pretty cool passage in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to end with this. Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Skip down to verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The choice is this: you serve God or you serve money. Pretty simple. But what our culture says is that money is God. Fame and fortune and all the stuff that money provides is God. That should be your chief end in life, because you've only got one life to live. Let's get as much as I can, forget about everybody else, and do this life right. And God stands in opposition to that and says, you know, you can live your life that way. He puts it something like this: what does it profit you if you gain the whole world and forfeit your soul? What does it gain you if you get everything? What good is it if you get everything you ever wanted? I mean, you've worked hard and you've pursued, but along the way you've had to cut some corners. And you've had to put God in a box for a while. But you got it all. God says, what good is that going to do you if it means you forfeit your soul? Do you love me or do you love money? But I promise you this, God says, you can't serve both of us. You can't serve both. You either serve the God of money or you serve the God that is the one true God. And so, you know, for you guys, maybe this is a little foreign, but this is not foreign. Do you serve God? what is your soul worth? Is basically the question. Is it worth pursuing anything on this earth? Money, fame, fortune? What is your soul worth? And God says, man, hey, here's this cool thing. Just get on my team and I'll take care of you. You'll never have to worry about another thing in your life. You may not be the richest person. You may be the richest person. But I'll guarantee you this. You serve me, you'll always be taken care of. You're my creation and I love you. But I want you to be part of my family as my child. And I will blow your mind the way I will take care of you and provide for you. The way that you will never have to worry because I give you a peace that passes all understanding. That's pretty cool. For those of you that know Christ in the room, the challenge for you is this. To look at your life. To look at the things that you really treasure. Because Scripture said, Jesus said, the treasures that we store up for ourselves on earth, cars, clothes, makeup, fashion magazines, houses, boats, it's all going to burn. Moth and rust will destroy it. It will not go anywhere with you. Oh, but the treasures that we store up in heaven, they last forever. Moth and rust can't hurt them. What treasures are you storing up? What treasures are you pursuing? If God is not the chief treasure, then you're going to end up disappointed. You're going to end up eventually, as Scripture says in 1 Timothy, in ruin and destruction. If you're not a Christian, this stuff doesn't matter to you until you come to a place where you say, you know what, I need to know God. And I get that the only way I can know and have a personal relationship with Him is through Jesus Christ. Despite what culture may tell you, as we've been talking about, Jesus Christ was a very real person. He was 100% man. He was 100% God. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. Most of his life was full of ridicule, even from his close friends. He died a very brutal, nasty, bloody death on a cross. And when he shed his blood, it covered our sins. And it paid the penalty for the sins that you and I commit on a daily basis. And because of that sin, God says, you can't get to heaven. That sin is going to send you straight to hell. Oh, but Jesus Christ, He paid the penalty for that. And if you trust in that, if you trust in the forgiveness He offers you on the cross, you can be saved. You don't have to pay the penalty for that sin anymore. Jesus did it. All you have to do is accept that free gift of salvation. Trust in Him and commit to follow your life. Commit to follow Him with your life. If that's something that you want to do and you've never done it, please don't leave this place until you do. Maybe you want to do it now. I want to give you an opportunity. Is there anybody in here that says, hey, I'd like to give my life to Christ? I'd at least like to know more about it. Okay. Cool. Anybody else? Hey, I know this really flips y'all's lid, and you probably hate the way I do invitations, but if you can't stand up for Jesus in here, you're not going to out there. And I don't want this to necessarily be about emotions. That's why I do it this way. I want you to come to a very real understanding of what God has called you to. Man, He loves you. He loves you more than you'd ever know. But it's not just cupcakes and butterflies. It's sometimes Christianity's hard. But it's worth it. All right, don't leave if you're not a Christian without talking to somebody. If you feel like God is tugging on your heart. Man, He wants a relationship with you. He sent His Son to the cross so He could have one. If you're a first-time guest, sorry I didn't introduce you at the beginning. We're so glad you guys are here. Let me pray real quick, and I got a couple things. And we're going to sing. We're going to sing. We're going to jam out as we leave. Let me pray real quick. Father, thank you for money, and thank you for that gift. Thank you that you allow us to have it. And God, I pray that even now at a very young age for some people in here, some people are making money and they get this. But God, that they would even now begin to be good stewards of their money, that they would be very responsible with that gift, and they would give back to you what is rightly yours. God, I pray that money would not be our chief end. As much as we watch on TV and movies, and it's so tempting, God, but I pray that we would be content with what you give us. And we would not run hard after those things over you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.